Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
How was your weekend? I hope it was great. Good morning. I'm Andy Griffin. This is the Andy Griffin Show on KDXU. Happy to welcome Jimmy Keston into the show today. Hi, Jimmy.
Good morning, Andy. It's kind of neat to see your face.
I was going to say, we talk three times a week on, actually four, because you came in Thursday to record another show, and but we very rarely actually can see each other.
Yeah.
And I can talk about how your hair is getting very long.
It is. This is my wife's fault.
Yeah, I guess you're never cutting it again, ever.
It was, she said, you know, you're not a banker anymore, no more haircuts for you.
It's a little Samson syndrome, I guess. If you cut it, you will die, so don't.
Happy wife, happy life.
That's another syndrome. That's a whole different syndrome. Yeah. Well, good morning to you, Jimmy. Good morning, everyone, for tuning in. We're going to talk politics a little bit today, and I thought it was appropriate, considering what... Well, you know, have you heard the term burning your bridges? Well, Joe Biden is burning a lot of things before he leaves in, 14, 15 days from when he goes. But he's making sure everybody's going to remember that that he was in for a while.
You know, the two words that have always described President Biden the best have been vindictive and petty. He has always been that way, going all the way back to his days in the Senate. This has never been the kind old grandpa, and we're now seeing it. He is taking out his revenge on the American people because he thinks that they, you know, the party turned their back on him. They ran him out of town. He, you know, is getting his revenge.
Yeah.
It started with his revenge on the Democrat Party by saddling him with Kamala. And,
here, take this.
Yeah. Because, you know, I mean, after, right, 2 hours after he stepped down from, you know, and got the knife out of his back, he endorsed, Vice President Harris, which stuck the Democratic Party with her because they had planned to do a primary going into the, they were going to put a big show on knowing that she couldn't get the votes from the delegates to win against any other candidate in the Democrat Party because, well, because nobody likes her.
Nobody. Somebody said, I think it was Clay Travis said on Friday, said, Kamala Harris might be the most unlikable candidate in the history of our presidential election.
She is so unlikable that people are remembering Hillary fondly.
And Hillary might, you know what, that is funny, but I still think Hillary.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. No doubt. That was meant to be humor. But I tell you what, it's a closer race than it ought to be on who's the more vile of the two.
True. Well, in the
politically,
thing is,
I'm sure they're wonderful people personally.
Oh, yeah, right.
And I wish them nothing but health and prosperity.
Yeah. He has to say that or somebody will sue him. But I still think if Joe Biden, okay, let's do some real truths about Joe Biden. Not about his personality, but about his look. He looks like the kind, loving grandpa. He seems like he should be a nice guy. And that has gotten him very, very far in the political world. But I think if Joe were not so nice looking, I don't mean he's good looking, but he looks like a grandpa, a nice guy. He has done some unbelievably vile and terrible things. I mean, if you go through the whole, you know, the Ukraine power company, the 10%, the everything that his family is just dirty. It's a mob family, Jimmy.
Well, you know, and of course, President Obama's former defense secretary, I think it was, once famously said that Joe Biden has been wrong about every single foreign policy position he's taken for 50 years. And it didn't get any better in the White House.
And Barack famously said, never underestimate Joe Biden's ability to blank things up.
Right.
So, yeah. I mean...
Yeah, it was,
this
look,
guy is just
2020 was the perfect, there is no way Joe Biden wins a presidential election. He was a horrible candidate before his dementia set in. It was the perfect storm of 2020, being able to hide him in the basement, and then going from a nation that less than 15%, I think was the number I saw, of the country voted by mail before 2020. And in the 2020 election, that went from under 15% to 70%.
Wow. I wonder how that could be. Do you think?
And then in states like Pennsylvania, there were no signature verification and all the rest of it. So you couldn't prove what we all know, which is there was some funny stuff going on in that election.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's that perfect storm is what allowed the Democrats to put this thing together. And then, you know, the whole intentional J6 thing. I mean, they're celebrating the end. I realize that this is a high holy day for the Democrat Party, and you know, might want to, you know, hug a Democrat today because they're having a really tough day on their highest holy day when the bad orange man is actually going to be certified as president, kind of messing up their holiday a little bit.
So let's go back to Joe Biden and the burning of the bridges. What are some other things? I mean, today he made a, I don't know, an edict, a ruling, a statement, I guess, if you will. What else is he doing to make sure that the bridges are burnt?
One of the numbers I saw was close to 900 million acres. I could be off on the number, but pretty much all of the coastal area off of both the east and west coast and the Gulf of Mexico that is not currently exploring for oil, doesn't have a current lease, all of it's being locked up under an obscure line in a bill that was passed in 1953 to deal with our coastlines. There was an obscure a statement somewhere in the depth of one of these bills that is so old that the bill was passed before I was born.
Yeah.
And I'm an old man.
That is old. Yeah.
And yeah, Eisenhower signed it in his first year in office.
That is old.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, Harry Truman had just left the White House when...
I think the Korean War was going on.
The Korean War I believe was probably getting close to going on. Yeah. That's how old it is. And so Biden, or obviously his handlers, found an obscure line in this 1953 bill, and Biden used it to put an executive order that locks up all offshore drilling will put a gigantic dent in our ability to become energy dominant.
So,
and they're saying that it would take an act of Congress to turn this around. Just can't get in and sign an executive order revoking his executive order. There's something in this 1953 bill that makes that difficult. Like I say, the details on it were not really understandable, but it's Congress, so you can imagine that it's complicated.
What else has Biden done? I know he's, I mean, we can go into the whole party.
Funded hundreds of millions of dollars to Ukraine, you know, some of which we know has, you know, some of it found its way back to Sam Bankman-Fried's crypto company. Mm. It was amazing. Some of the first money that... that Biden that was sent over to Ukraine suddenly found its way back to this crypto company of Sam Bankman-Fried, and about 40 million of it ended up donated to Democrat Senate campaigns in 2022.
This guy's so dirty.
Which is how Biden held took the Senate in the midterms and fought off the red wave. It was money they were funneling through Ukraine to a Democrat donor through Zelensky that went back to the Democrats.
So we're starting to see why people hate Donald Trump, because Donald Trump has come in, and when I say people, I mean politicians, and said, all this crap that's going on, we're not going to let that happen anymore.
He's exposing it.
Yeah, and so that explains why politicians hate him, because, you know, they've been on the gravy train for a long time, and he wants to get him off. Why, though, does, like, legacy media and a percentage of Americans hate the guy?
Well, a percentage of the Americans get all their news from legacy media.
Okay.
And the legacy media, well, I was about to say that the legacy media is an arm of the Democrat Party, but that's not correct. The Democrat Party is an arm of the legacy media. Who is very far left, almost communist, wanting you've got radical leftists who went into journalism after Watergate to change the world for the socialist utopia that they dreamt of. And so you've got all these, you know, there were a couple professions that that the left really focused on, and that's the biggest difference between the left, the Democrat Party, and the right, Republican Party. Republicans pick careers based on love of what they're doing and the ability to make money. It seems Democrats pick their career on how it allows them to affect things politically. So the two areas we saw overwhelming support from the left going in as a career field in the 70s and 80s and 90s was the media and teaching, education. And education, that's been going on for close to 100 years. Yeah. But, you know, if you look today, just a couple of decades ago, a few decades ago, you had nearly a 50-50 split in political leaning on college campuses. Today it's about 95%, 97%.
Liberal.
And that, you know, they have, and it's not, like I say, these are not fields that you're going to make tremendous money. School teaching is not, you don't go into teaching to get rich.
Right.
But you do go into teaching to affect whole generations of youth. And that's what the left has done. Politics for them is religion. You know, for the right, we go to church on Sunday and, you know, some of us will go for a midweek Bible study and other calls through church that we attend to. But the rest of the week we're, you know, enjoying our family and working in our careers, and we don't live and breathe politics. You and I spend a lot more time on it than most people, but it's not who I am or what I do.
Right.
But to the left, it is. And, you know, for Joe right now, he is going to do anything he can to make Trump's presidency more difficult.
Yeah. Oh, and he's doing it.
And punish the American people for abandoning him.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it's sad.
From a policy standpoint, you know, I can't think of a single thing Joe Biden's done in 4 years that I supported.
Mm. No, it's sad. And what he's done to, not to the political leaders but to all of us, to everyday Americans, what he's done to us with the price of everything going up and with these new laws and things he has hurt us all.
Right. You know, I mean, even going back to the Obama presidency, and don't ask me to give you a specific on it, but there were every once in a while he would do something and I would say, well, you know, okay, that wasn't bad. Credit where credit is due. That was good for the American people. It didn't happen often in the Obama presidency, but it did happen.
It did happen.
It has never happened under President Biden.
No.
This has been the most radical left presidency and the most failed presidency we've had since Herbert Hoover.
Yeah.
Who ran us into the Great Depression.
Jimmy Carter just passed away 100 years old, and I made the comment, and I stand by this. Jimmy Carter should be grateful for Joe Biden, because I have long believed Jimmy Carter was the worst president in history. He is now second.
Right. He was certainly the worst in our lifetime, since Hoover even predates me.
yeah.
Yeah. And well, that was the 1920s. There are not a whole lot of people that remember Hoover as president. But
even my dad was born in the 30s. So
so it's like in our lifetime, Carter was probably our worst president by a pretty good margin. It was a definite failed presidency, but it actually looks pretty good compared to Joe.
Let's change subjects a little bit. This breaking news this morning, Justin Trudeau, the Canadian Prime Minister, has resigned this morning as leader of his Liberal Party and as Prime Minister of Canada. Any thoughts on it? I know it's Canada, and you're like, oh, what does that have to do with us? But what do you think?
You know, it's not good for your political health to cross Donald Trump.
Yeah.
And Trudeau tried to you know, stand up and be all tough with President Trump and made a few trips to Mar-a-Lago. And, you know, you could tell that those discussions were not pleasing the president-elect as, you know, he went on television and talked about, you know, Governor Trudeau. And that maybe we should make Canada the 51st state to straighten it out after the mess he's made out of it. And you could tell right about then that he wasn't long for his position. Of course, he has been extraordinarily unpopular, even in left-leaning Canada. You know, this is the guy who was throwing truckers in jail because they wanted to work during COVID. You know, with vaccine mandates and, you know, his, the lockdowns in Canada during COVID were awful. And what they've done in the area of curtailing free speech in Canada has been, you know, just overbearingly bad stuff. Of course, they don't have our Bill of Rights.
Right. It's funny because a lot of the very liberal celebrities were going to go to Canada if Trump won. They loudly said it the first time Trump won.
Yeah.
And they said it again before this last election. People like, oh, Rosie O'Donnell, Whoopi Goldberg, among others. And they never left, by the way. But now...
No, all of them have been offered first-class one-way plane tickets to anywhere in the world.
Yeah.
Paid for.
Yeah. Go
and
ahead.
They aren't taking up on it.
Bye-bye. And no, they're not leaving. So
have you noticed how quiet Robert De Niro's been lately?
Yeah. You're talking to me. Oh, no, that's the wrong guy. Never mind. Yeah. So anyway, Trudeau resigns. He said it is, quote, best for the country. You think Trudeau has been at odds with President Trump over the last couple of weeks. Trump threatened to impose a 25% tariff on all Canadian goods if Trudeau didn't deal with the increase of migrants entering the U.S. Trump also jokingly referred to Trudeau as governor of the 51st U.S. state.
Yeah, so he was having enough trouble up there with his own people being fed up with the how hard left his policies were and how restrictive life was becoming up there. Yeah. You know, Canadians are mostly pretty happy-go-lucky people. I don't know, know, most Canadians I know are just kind of, you know, friendly, happy-go-lucky. They aren't really don't get worked up about much. But they were pretty worked up about Trudeau. And then you put on top of that, that he, you know, brought on the ire of President Trump, and that is not good for your political health.
You know the old joke, how do you know if a person does CrossFit? They, well, just wait a second, they'll tell you. Well, how do you know if a person's from Canada? Well, they'll apologize within the first minute or two, because that's just what they do. It doesn't matter what it's for. They're going to say, oh, I'm sorry about that. In the first minute or two, it's totally true. All right, here's what I'm going to get weather in about 2 minutes early, because when we come back, I want to talk about something weird happening up at Utah State University. I know a lot of folks from St. George send their kids all the way up to Logan to go to college. You're not going to believe, well, the news coming out this morning about Utah State University. We're talking with Jimmy Keston today on the Andy Griffin Show. All right. Good morning. I'm Andy. Jimmy is here, too. The Andy Griffin Show on KDXU. And, Jimmy, I have a news item. This came across this morning, and I can't really go into a whole lot of facts about it all, but except for the main story, and it is basically this. So if you remember, Utah State University was one of the frontliners, the headliners in refusing to play San Jose State because San Jose State had a biological male who was transitioning to female on their volleyball team.
And who had already injured some female players with the strength of his hitting.
His spikes were clocked at somewhere around 85 kilometers an hour, and the average male, no, miles an hour, the average female spike is about 55. So maybe a little difference there. But we were kind of proud of Utah State. They took a stand. They said, we are not going to let these transgenders infiltrate women's sports, and it's just not going to happen. Well, here's the thing, Utah State. And I graduated, by the way, full disclosure, I am an Aggie. I graduated from USU. We transferred up from BYU and after we got married. But
Utah State's not one of the colleges I dropped out of.
Anyway, so last week for the new semester, Utah State, in one of its all-female residential halls, has named someone as a resident, basically they call it the floor mom, the resident assistant. Only the thing is, this person that they appointed as their RA, their resident assistant, their floor mom, is actually a guy. It's a transgender male transitioning to female. And some of the parents are like, wait, what? You're doing what? And in fact, one mom, let's see if I can find the page. One of the moms was like, I'm not okay with this. This is, here it is. This is Cheryl Saltzman. She said, a biological male just moved into my daughter's dorm on Utah State University's campus. It's a girls only dorm. She was appointed the RA of the floor. She said she called the university, and the university was very impatient with her, said she was being unreasonable. She said, you can move into the dorm with the gender that you identify. However, the contempt toward anyone uncomfortable with it is genuinely and deeply enraging. She was able to get her daughter transferred out of that housing area and into a different housing area, but they were not going to tell her. She had to find out through the proverbial grapevine that the RA was actually a biological male.
Yeah, this is, well, I mean, well done taking their daughter out of that, out of that facility.
Cheryl.
It would happen so fast, you know, if it was my daughter, their head would spin. And look, I take this topic kind of seriously because I had my daughter was a multi-sport athlete in high school, particularly volleyball and track, the two sports most impacted by men impersonating women for the purpose of playing sports. And so there's no way I would have let my daughter compete against men, and we were hailing Utah State as heroes for making a stand and for those amazing athletes to be able to stand up for what was right and forfeit a game that it truly affects them. I know how hard athletes work at their sport, and you know shame on Utah State.
Yeah, it is kind of unbelievable. So, you know, and you say as a dad of a former female athlete, but I would say any dad who has a daughter would go, this is not okay. Now, for those not familiar with dorms, okay, and my wife lived in a dorm before we got married, all girls dorm. Basically, you know, if you're an RA, you're there when everyone's getting undressed. You're there when everybody's getting ready for bed or getting ready in the mornings. There's, you know, underwear and nudity and all. I mean, all the stuff that goes into living in on dorm floor. That's just, it's just life, right? There's public bathrooms, even.
You know, it breaks my heart that what I'm about to say is controversial.
It shouldn't be.
But women should be allowed privacy from men.
That is super controversial.
In bathrooms and changing areas, period. And by men, I'm saying anyone with an XY chromosome, I don't care what you've done to your body.
Mm-hmm. or what you declared.
Right. It's all about DNA, baby.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's all about them chromosomes. And if you don't have, if you're not a double X, stay the heck out of my daughter's bathroom.
Yeah, yeah. I'm with you on this one. So we'll let it rest there. This is obviously, this is pretty new. This just barely all happened in the last, well, over the weekend and this morning. And so we're going to see what Utah State decides on this whole matter and everything. I mean, to me, they made a statement by actually hiring this guy to be an RA in a women's, even though he declared he's not.
And if the parents of Utah State students do not stand up and insist that this is corrected, then they deserve what they get.
Yeah. I'm with you on that one. You know, I'm not a militant. I'm not a guy that loves controversy and loves, you know, conflict. But as a parent, you got to stand up. You got to say, this is not okay.
I'm sorry. Standing up to protect my wife and my daughter is my job.
Yeah.
And, you know, yeah, I'm an old-fashioned man who, you know, the world is frowning on those values. But, you know, this whole trans thing is a bridge too far for me anyhow.
Yeah.
God doesn't make mistakes.
No, he does not. All right. Okay. We'll leave that there now. Let's talk about a couple of other things. First of all, today is January 6th. Jimmy, that means something to some people.
And by the way, the flags are not at half staff because of January 6th. It's because of President Carter's death.
Yeah. So, yeah. So this morning on the wire, this is the news wire. The AP and all these other official news sources comes across and says, today is the anniversary of the January 6th attack on the Capitol in which 5 people were killed. Jimmy, I don't remember 5 people being killed on January 6th.
Was that in Pravda, the Russian news service?
No, this is
or
America.
Was that the Communist Chinese Party's newsletter?
No, this was America, Legacy Media.
Wait, America, they're supposed to report the news and facts, aren't they?
The actual facts, yeah.
Because what you just said is an absolute fantasy.
Yeah, I don't even know where the number 5 came from, Jimmy.
I believe that, you know, somebody in Virginia had a heart attack that day. They counted it.
Richmond, north of Richmond, yeah. It boggles the mind. So as far as I know, the only person that died on that day direct result was actually
Ashley Babbitt.
One of the protesters, Ashley Babbitt.
We didn't say her name at 7:25. I apologize for that. Yeah. Ashley Babbitt.
And she was unarmed. And she was an Army veteran, and she
served honorably in the United States military.
And she got shot for what? Being in the crowd, pushing up against a barrier?
Yeah, there was a door that she was next to. I think there was a bunch of people pushing. There was a police officer on the other side. He got nervous. He fired and killed her, and he was exonerated by the Capitol Police. But
wait, he didn't get in trouble?
I know he was actually given an award.
Oh man,
for shooting her by the Democrats.
So I just, you know,
I was without words just even saying that, but that is true. Oh. And no, it's like, you know, the next day, Officer Sitnik had a stroke that is completely unrelated to January 6th, and then he passed away, and they're counting him.
You could almost, with some broad stretch of the imagination, go, okay, there were 2, but 5?
Yeah, and even like I said, there's no justification for that number. I don't know. Nobody knows where some of it came from. They were certainly 4 of the 5 were unrelated to what happened at the Capitol, because we know for a fact that there was only 1 death at the Capitol that day. Do you know that there are still hundreds of people awaiting trial?
Well, haven't they already convicted a bunch, too?
Well, yeah, about 1,500.
1,500, yeah.
And there's still hundreds that they're still going after.
Wow.
That's likely to change in a couple of weeks, but...
Wait, what happens in a couple of weeks?
A actual ascension president gets sworn in office.
It's 2 weeks from today, isn't it?
Somebody whose you know, mouth is still connected to his brain and and can actually complete multiple sentences in a row.
Wow.
On the topic. Did you see where President Biden was asked about birthright citizenship? And his answer was that he's the oldest president. He's known more world leaders than all of these. And then he took the Lord's name in vain, journalists put together. Now, the question was, what do you think of birthright citizenship? And his answer was God and how a reservoir is, you know, how you withstand the reservoir.
Right, the holding back of the water.
Yeah. At the journalists.
Wow.
And talking about how many world leaders he's met compared to them in response to a question on birthright citizenship. Mm. Now, of course, the news focused on the fact that he cursed at the journalists and was angry with them. Yeah. But the answer was so unrelated to the question that my God, January 20th can't come fast enough.
At least he didn't call people dog-faced pony soldiers. We'll be right back.
All the latest news, weather, traffic, and sports, just like you like them. You're waking up with the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
He's back. We're not talking about Jimmy. Jimmy is back, too. Jimmy's here with me, Jimmy Keston. But we're talking about the Fauci. Anthony Fauci is back in the news, sort of. So, I mean, timeline-wise, Fauci came out in, what was it, December, and said there's something going on. And, of course, by March, we had shutdowns and lockdowns and all kinds of stuff. But did Fauci know more earlier than we thought he did, Jimmy? What do you hear?
There's a book out by a Dr. Andrew Huff.
Mm-hmm.
And the title of the book is The Truth About Wuhan, How I Uncovered the Biggest Lie in History.
Wow, that sounds explosive.
And basically what they're saying, this is really kind of amazing. They have evidence from a senior Pentagon official that COVID was spreading in China like wildfire in early October. Now, I had said as early as May or June, but they actually believe that it was spreading, full force spreading as a pandemic in China by October. Fauci's been telling us that it didn't start till December.
I was going to say, I don't think any of us heard anything about it until December. And you're saying he knew months before that.
And they think that it was easily August, September that it really started, if not before that, and that they've been kind of sitting on it. In fact, he's saying it's almost treasonous.
Why would they sit on it? What?
The president was not notified, and it was they believe that this was all about subverting the president. I'm going to give you a quote from Dr. Huff. At best, Dr. Fauci is guilty of 25 million counts of negligent criminal homicide. They knew that the Wuhan Institute of Virology was a leaky lab. They allowed the research to go on. They illegally exported the technology. They didn't have proper safety controls in place from a risk management perspective on the United States side and with the contractors involved with the research. And on top of it, you're giving advanced biotechnology to an enemy of the United States, unquote.
That's treasonous.
That's treason. It's all, and all of it's illegal. I mean, even if it's illegal in its own right, even if you're not charging them with treason. And they all work together to hide it because the technology came from us. We gave it to Wuhan. We approved the research. Hmm. We have been hearing for a while that we funded the research. Now, it looks like they were covering up the lab leak months before it was by December and January, they couldn't hide it anymore.
Right. No.
It broke out into the rest of the world.
Yeah.
You know, China, remember, China restricted travel to or from Wuhan in China.
Right.
Months ahead of us doing any of our travel ban from China. So they weren't letting, for months, they weren't letting people in Wuhan travel in or out of that province. They knew what was going on. And Dr. Fauci and a bunch of people working with him participated in the cover-up that killed 25 million people worldwide.
So you said they did it to hurt Trump. Did they, were they also, was there kind of the, oh crap, we can't tell anybody about this?
Was it was, there was a whole lot of,
I don't want to get in trouble. I don't want to.
I think they call it CYA.
Okay. I don't know what that stands for.
Cover your something. Abdomen? Cover your abs?
Yeah. Assets, I always think. Assets. Cover your.
Yeah.
I'm trying to figure out the conversation that went on. So, you know, somebody, hey, Anthony, listen, we got a problem here. This is way worse than we thought. And we gave them a lot of the technology that made it way worse than we thought. And so we got to do something. And Anthony says, let's hide it.
It seems to me like if this gets out, we're all going to lose our jobs and our pensions. Mm-hmm. So let's hide it and figure out how to blame Trump because we really don't like him anyhow.
Do you believe that Fauci knew in covering it up, in hiding it, what would eventually happen where millions of Americans would die? Do you believe he thought that would happen?
You know, he's on record of having saying that that it would be, that there would be value in the what they would learn from a pandemic that got loose. Did he know that it was going to kill 25 million people? I'm going to give the benefit of the doubt and say maybe he didn't know it was going to be that out of control and that bad. But there's no doubt in my mind at this point that he was happy to say, let's see what happens and let's experiment with some of the ideas that we've been talking about to see how we might have a different approach to dealing with a pandemic than just trying to heal the people who get it. Let's see if we can put some preventative measures.
In,
wow. Because science, this is all about, you have to, science is the most important thing.
So basically he made guinea pigs out of the entire population of the United States of America, is what you're saying.
Absolutely.
He wanted to see.
I'm not even hesitating at this point. At this point, everything I've learned over the last 5 years, there's no doubt in my mind that Fauci knew and allowed it to happen and thought that, you know, that's the, you know, you're doing all this research to make viruses more dangerous.
Yeah.
How do you find out if it worked?
You guinea pig on an entire population, not just the U.S., of the world.
And, you know, did they intentionally leak it? No. But they knew that that lab wasn't safe. And once it leaked.
Once it got out,
that's where that's where this thing became, liable for the deaths of all these people. Because when it got out, they could have done the right thing. But instead, they said, well, let's see what happens. Let's, this is a great opportunity for research.
Wow.
I'm convinced that was their mindset.
And if you think that just, and death is death. It's as bad as it gets. But if you think those are the only effects,
well,
you're
not
dead
for the
wrong.
Christian, but.
Yeah. But if you think that's the only effect, think about the cycle. I mean, you're being a Christian, talking about, life after death and stuff.
Yes.
If you're altering people's personalities because of the way that you treated them during the whole COVID, I mean, schools were shut down, masks were worn. I have two daughters that were in the midst of their formative years that had their life altered irrevocably.
My daughter's senior year was 2020.
It cost her
a college scholarship because of because of all the shutdowns and missing her senior season of sports and stuff. So yes, I mean there was look, this thing was as horrible as it gets, and when you're using people like that,
we were lab rats.
Right. I mean, look, life after death for the Christian is wonderful. Murdering people to get them there is not wonderful.
No.
And that's what and that's what Fauci and these lunatics in the science community that thought that that were messing around with something as dangerous as a chemically altered virus to make it more dangerous. And you know what? China, this benefited China the most. I mean, we know they don't really care about their people. So, you know, while they had an untold number of deaths from COVID, it weakened the United States. It weakened our allies. You know, this was a this was horrible.
Yeah.
Well, and apparently preventable.
Yeah. Preventable way early. And like I said, the toll not only on the deaths of people, but the toll on every single American's life. Things have changed. We spent the first part of the show talking about the transgenders. Who knows what those people would be like if there hadn't been this year of bizarre. We lived in bizarre. We were lab rats in bizarro world for a year.
A year? For four.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. 4 years. You're right. And the toll not only on people's lives, but on people's personalities, on people's souls even. I mean, only God is going to be able to account for what was done to us.
Yeah, even those whose lives were not directly touched by losing someone close to them. I don't know anybody whose life wasn't radically altered by it.
Yeah, no, you're right. Well, we used it up. Jimmy Cusson, thank you so much for coming in.
Always a joy to be with you. Have a blessed J6.
Make sure and call me when you get a haircut. we'll be back tomorrow, everybody. Thanks for listening.
Now Taxes is 100% free when you file in the TurboTax app if you didn't file with us last year.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, just do your own taxes in the app by 2/18.
What if I have lots of forms?
All good, all 100% free.
What if I had 3 jobs?
Still 100% free.
What if I once saw Bigfoot?
That has nothing to do with taxes, so still 100% free.
Now that's what I'm talking about.
Now this is taxes. See if you qualify in the TurboTax app. Excludes TurboTax Live, must start and file in app by 2/18.